This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live. Sean, why protein bars? That's so gross.
Well, I can't lie to you. I'm working with a new sponsor. I haven't announced yet for the show that they're, well, let's just leave it at that. And this is part of the regimen.
Oh, gosh. You know, I can do the shakes and I can do the beef jerky and I can do that too. Yeah, I can do that. But the bars are so dry and flavorless and gross.
Oh, no. They had a list and I chose the most, like, if someone said that you could just eat these protein bars like all day long, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna
that
have to
French vanilla.
You're gonna have to text me when this is done because I have to know if there's a decent tasting protein bar.
Well, so here's the caveat. Technically, I was at, I think it was the commissary or something, and I was like, "Oh, there's a protein bar." I'm not sure that this one was entirely approved, but it maybe that's why it tastes so good. I get your point. Normally most of them are kind of whatever. I got the Chomps. That was on the list. Those are great beef sticks.
Okay. That's fine.
Once in a while, I got a total sweet tooth, and that's my downfall whenever I try to get in shape, is that there's always like I can do like I love meat, I do protein, but like I need something.
Sean, am I frozen on your screen with that stupid look on my face?
Technically, yes.
Oh, no. Hold on.
Hold on. I don't mean to do that. I'm going to have to screenshot this. I'm going to match it.
How do I turn this off? Oh, no. You can't see my handsome face. And now you're frozen.
No, well, I did that on purpose because I was trying to... I was taking a picture so that...
You know what?
This moment will live forever.
Hang on. Let me try to switch the camera around real quick so everyone can watch this professional studio.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Glad you're in TV.
You know what? Screw it. We're leaving it. Sean, all right. Does the garbage everyone's heard the garbage comments by Joe Biden. Everyone gets it. Everyone's seen the controversy by now. My argument for why it probably does matter is, and please obviously shoot me down here, that there's only so much real estate. There's only so much media real estate left between now and Election Day. We're down to a week. And now they've already gobbled up 24 hours cleaning up Joe Biden's poopy diapers. Every nightly show was having to address it. The publications, they want to be out there calling Trump a Nazi and campaigning for Dome. Instead, they're having to clean up Joe Biden's poopy diapers. And I think it actually does matter.
Yeah, it matters, I think, a little for that reason. I will tell you a couple other reasons. Number one, it ends the silly narrative. It means they have to be responding. I mean, I think that's part of what you're getting at. Like they totally took them off message. But more than that, Jesse, here's what I think. It just exposes the hypocrisy. I'm so tired of the BS. And it was like, let's just be clear. Like the Trump campaign have won like Friday night, like, I mean, Sunday. This guy told a stupid joke. It failed. I joke around all the time, and I would say, like, I don't know, probably 40% of my jokes flop. I thought it was stupid. It fell flat. Okay, whatever. And then for 72 hours, everybody wanted to talk about this comedian's joke 4 hours before Trump spoke at a daily rally. And then Biden, the current president of the United States, calls everyone garbage. It was like, well, he didn't mean it. And I think for the average person out there, they're going, this is, you guys are so ridiculous. You made him go overboard for a comedian's joke that fell flat, that nobody agreed with. And also just on that front, it's like, you know what? There are comedians. George Lopez made fun of black people the other day, women the other day. He's one of her surrogates. No one cared about that. But Jesse, since you got me on my soapbox, this is what the difference between the two sides are, because I think this is the point, is that it enraged everyone to say, this is nuts. You guys went nuts on a comedian, and now there's like scant coverage of the outrage on this. Because this morning somebody said to me, like, what do you think about Tim Walz's answer on Good Morning America? And I said, whoa, hold on, before the answer, because the answer was like everything else that Tim Walz does, an inauthentic BS thing. This was George Stephanopoulos' thing. Republicans have seized on comments last night. Republicans seized on it. The guy called everyone garbage. We didn't seize on it, okay? And then he said, did he, Biden, step on her message? So let me get this straight. When a comedian Sunday night told a stupid joke that fell flat, everyone in Trump world had to apologize for it. When will Trump apologize for having him on? The current president of the United States, her boss, says everyone in Trump that supports Trump is garbage. And the question is, Republicans have seized on comments that Joe Biden made. Did he step on her message? BS. What do you mean? Did he, like, why wasn't Tim Walz held to the, oh, you came back. Oh, why didn't he? This to me, it just shows everyone how full of crap these guys are. George Stephanopoulos, did he step on her message? No. Why didn't Tim Walz get us? Do you denounce these comments? I mean, and he was like, oh, he apparently, Republicans are seizing on him. He didn't seize them. You called us garbage.
Sean, let me ask you, you were press sec, right? So you know these dirt balls in the media. You know them very well.
Do you want a Sean Spicer mug, by the way? I mean,
oh gosh, I don't want that in the worst way. In the worst way, as little as you could want something, that's how much I want that mug.
You want a smaller one? I have a smaller one.
Anyway, all right. So these people in the press, you see them whine. I see them whine about trust in the media. I saw, who was it, Chris Salizer, one of these guys the other day, put something up about this, trust in the media is terrible. I can't believe the low trust in the media. So they know it's there. They know people don't like them. They know people have tuned out. And yet things like this happen. And as you just pointed out, they continue to do every single thing they've done to earn the lack of trust. If my son gets yellow teeth and I tell him it's because you don't brush your teeth, there's a direct correlation between brushing your teeth and having yellow teeth. It's a direct connection. It's not a difficult connection to make. How does the media not make that connection? They know they need trust at some point in time for their profession, and yet they continue. It's not that I expect them to stop being scumbag commies, but how do you not make that connection?
Oh, it's amazing to me the lack of realization. Like, if you want to be a liberal in America, go for it, right? I don't care. Well, I do, but I mean, you're allowed. But these guys literally, to your point, they don't get it. Like, they don't go, you know what? Like, I get why you don't trust us, because we said that the laptop was misinformation. We told you 51 intelligence chiefs said it was Russia. We believe the dossier, we peddled the dossier. We told you, like, we treated Trump one way with the comedian, and yet we're telling you that Biden just has bad grammar. I mean, truly, that's what's happening today. It was like, well, Biden used poor grammar last night. No, that's not, because, but to them, so I did a book, my second book, called Leading America. One of the chapters in it, I looked at journalism schools, Jesse. And in each of them, their mission statement said, that they were teaching these guys to work to enhance the greater good. Right. It wasn't. And that's the thing, is that to them, this gets to your question, like they believe as long as they are promoting Harris and demeaning Trump, they are doing their job. It's promoting the greater good. In their mind, the greater good is protecting us from Republican conservatives, you know. So that's academia for you. That's and I think that they don't. I mean, there is such a lack of awareness. I mean, these are the same people who go to, like, if you ever read Politico Playbook every morning, and at the bottom they have these spotted things, and it was like what parties happened or whatever. And night after night, it's so-and-so at Cafe Milano toasting someone else's story because they did this, or they got an interview or a book or whatever. They all go out, they hang out together, they toast each other, they applaud each other, they date each other. You know, you saw that with Olivia Nuzzi, that woman who,
yeah.
Well, like, let's just say that she, this is a PG live, we don't go, but yeah. And her boyfriend is Ryan Lizza of Politico. Do you think that those guys are going to objectively cover the, and by the way, there's some rumors about how the information came out, meaning potential, you know, some people are suggesting that he had something to do with it. I have no clue, but my point is, is Politico going to look into this the way that they should, because they need to protect their own and protect the person that's someone? I mean, it is so corrupt. I mean, like, again, go back to this morning. That question to Tim Walz after President Biden says that Trump supporters are garbage. Republicans have seized on comments the president have made. Did he step on her message? You know, so you could legitimately say, yeah, he stepped on our message. Okay, move on. Let's talk about the weather. Like, the answer is, why don't you treat people the same way? It is just so corrupt. And when I was at the RNC, I'll tell you one quick C story. They would call, like, hey, Timmy Johnson, he's the treasurer at, you know, Alexandria Middle School. He made some comments, and his dad's a Republican. Is the RNC willing to denounce them? And I'm like, this is like crazy. And then I'd call them and I'd be like, hey, a Democratic member of Congress just, you know, smacked a Republican member of Congress in the face, called them a dirtball. And they'd be like, yeah, unfortunately we didn't see that. Yeah. I just, and I'd be like, are you kidding? Like, and I'm not, when I, and this is not a joke. I called the chief political guy over at the Washington Post one day and I was like, hey, can I ask a quick question? Have you called the DNC about this, you know, whatever this incident was today? And he goes, I'm really not aware of it. What are you talking about? And I go, at some point, you guys aren't even looking for it. If it doesn't go one way, I honestly believe that. He was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm like, this thing that happened today. He's like, yeah, I haven't heard of it.
So let me ask you this, because this actually goes back to Biden, who, of course, pooped his pants on live television last night. And now the Kamala Harris campaign has to spend the day changing his diapers. So remember, you remember the debate when Biden ended his political career. He was half dead during the debate. And the media, we got 24, 48 hours of the media afterwards, just aghast. How did we not know? We didn't know. We had no idea. And we, all of us, myself definitely included, said, you're a bunch of freaking liars. You're there every day. I knew. Sean Spicer knew.
Dude, you didn't need to be there, though. You just had to have eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Or ears.
But in a weird way, and it's not that I'm ever trying to defend them, is there a chance a lot of them really didn't know because they didn't want to see? Like what you just said?
No.
They didn't see the videos we saw. They didn't see the stumbling.
No. So New York is all about money, right? If you call, like, if you have a financial person or you're involved in Wall Street, at the end of the day, you can be the biggest jerk. If you're bringing in a ton of cash, it's all about making money, killing it, whatever, at Wall Street or whatever. In Washington, D.C., it all comes down to power and access. The closer you are to power and the more access you have to people with power. So that's what everything comes down to. And for so many of these people, it all is, I have power and access because of Biden or because of this administration or whatever, and I can't rock the boat. And that includes the media. The one thing that Trump did that was so interesting in 2016 is he basically told, like, lobbyists and and members of the media, hey, if you want to cover me, if you want to play with me, if you want to whatever, fine. I'm glad to have you with me or on my team, but I don't need you. And for the first time in my lifetime, probably ever, it was the first time that somebody ever said that. And they freaked out. They were like, what do you mean? Like, I'm important. I always, people call me. I tell everyone that I get my questions and the president knows my name. And I think that that startled them. Like, what do you mean? I'm not important. And with Biden, they've gotten into this, it's all about power and access. And it might not be with him, but it may be with the staff. But the bottom line is these people don't want you to know, because as soon as he's gone, they lose. That's the bottom line, right? As soon as Biden's gone, there's now stories that if Kamala wins, she's not going to keep all the Biden folks. They're worried. Their life depends on it. Their ego depends on it, because they love their calls being returned. They love to get reservations at Cafe Milano and the, you know, wherever else they eat the palm. And then they also like the power that comes with that, to have their phone calls returned, to get the money if they're a lobbyist. And that now it's a new dynamic, and that they're going to get pissed when Trump's in. So this is about power.
Sean, how bad is the tension between Harris and Biden? You and I have talked many times. There's clearly tension there. There has been. Jill Biden has hated Dome ever since Kamala knifed Joe in the ribs at that debate. There was always tension there. But Joe keeps doing this to Harris, whether it's intentional or not. I personally believe at least part of it has to be intentional. But he keeps stomping on her already kind of flailing campaign. How much do those two camps loathe each other?
Oh, it's bad. And I'll tell you why. But here's the here's why. Because for the last 3 years, the Harris campaign was treated like crap by the Biden staff, right? They were like relegated, like, okay, we'll allow you to come over for a couple parties or whatever. And they really were, I mean, treated like crap. I mean, for a lot of obvious reasons, right? She was the most unpopular vice president, blah, 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 right? And then suddenly they find themselves now in the driver's seat, and all the Biden folks are like, hey, Kamala, we do like you. And hey, I think that they and everything that you read about the Kamala staff was like, you know what? Sorry, too late. And now this goes back to the power. They're pissed because they're like, okay, what am I going to do if she's in or whatever? But they really don't. And then the Kamala people, obviously, for a lot of these obvious reasons, are like, they don't want anything to do with Joe. And I understand if you're Biden, right, you got her here. You are the, I mean, that woman couldn't get herself out of a paper bag politically before this. And so you resurrected her, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. And I think they want a little respect. And I think they're like, hey, we're Scranton Joe. Use us in Pennsylvania. Do something with us. And they're like, how about you go nowhere? I mean, last night, think about this, Jesse. She was literally hanging out feet from the White. I mean, the White House is in the backdrop. You could throw a baseball and hit it. And they were like, Joe's looking out the window like, wait, what's going on the mall?
Okay, so the Harris campaign, obviously, it's very, very hard to.
I mean, don't you think that last night Joe's like, Jill, what's going down on the mall? There's a lot of lights. And she's like, come back, Joe. We're watching Gunsmoke.
Sean, I'll be honest with you. I think he is so incredibly gone. I think in private moments like that, if you told him the Rolling Stones were playing on the White House lawn, I'm not totally sure it would go into his brain. And I say that, you know, from private things, which I know you've heard that people have passed along about their personal interactions with him. The Joe Biden we see, I know this is hard for people to believe, that's the best there is. That's the best he has left. That's
no
the
joke.
Joe Biden on rest and cocktail. What's that? What's that?
No joke.
Yeah, no, exactly. That is Joe at his tippy top. People were like, wow, he's fading. No, no, no. That's peak Joe Biden now. I think when the cameras are off and whatever cocktail they're giving him wears off, the rest wears off, I think Joe Biden mumbles and stumbles around the White House in ways that would mortify the American people if they did. We're never going to know that, right? Because they're not going to allow that to be videoed. But when you watch how fast he's even declined in the last year, I don't think he really knows what's going on, which makes last night that much funnier. That Sean, remember, they put out a statement. They put out a White House statement about what he said. And when asked about it, they essentially confirmed they didn't talk to Joe about the statement. No, he went to bed.
You know
they
what?
Went and talked him into bed, and then they put out a statement for him.
So I'm going to tell you a funny thing that happened at the beginning of this administration. There was a the deputy, principal deputy White House press secretary, a guy named T.J. Ducklow. He had been with the Bidens throughout the whole campaign, and like he was the guy, like traveled with them, went to the Delaware House, like he was their guy, right? He knew them, Jill, the whole family. So they name him principal deputy press secretary to Psaki. Ducklow gets himself, he has this back and forth with a Politico reporter. You remember Joe would put out the statement, if you treat anyone with disrespect, no joke, I'm going to fire you. Like my uncle used to say, Joey, fire people with the ball. So they fired Ducklow. Now he's the principal deputy press secretary who was close to the Bidens. And when Psaki was asked what the Bidens' response was, she said, this was all handled by Chief of Staff Klain. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. If I had fired Sarah Sanders, which I wouldn't, just, okay, and not told President Trump, he would have been like, hey, Sean, do me a favor. Call her. She's press secretary, and you're fired. Like, and the idea that they didn't, they admitted it. They were like, Chief of Staff Klain handled this. And I'm like, wait, wait. And they were like, did anyone tell the president that the principal deputy press secretary, who's close to the family, not just Joe, Jill, whatever, no one told them. How do you do that? And that was day one, or whatever it was, day five, day 20.
Oh, man, he's freaking gone. All right. Everybody, we are wrapping this up. Sean, my brother.
Hold on. I just want people to know, like, this is fun to get on. What are you doing on election night? We're doing some fun stuff on the first, right?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I've been going back. I know we're doing stuff on the first. I know we're doing stuff on the first. I know you and I are going to break bread on
camera. This is the difference. For people watching, this is the difference. I'm here. I got, look at all my sticky notes. And Jesse Kelly's like, I don't know. My people are working with people. I got a car out back taking me to the, you know, I get it. I got some work to do.
They understand that I can only focus on like one thing at a time.
You know, when my people tell me, I'll get back to you. I got to go get a hot yoga and then get a massage.
Look, I'll have to check with my personal assistant, Sean. Yeah. I'll get back to you. Okay?
So we're going live. We'll be on the first all night election night. I know we've got a great setup. I know you're part of it. I don't know if you've been briefed, so I'll do it right now verbally. But we're going to be going all night. All night. You may not know that, but we've got Dean Lash is going to join us. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So if you are watching and want watching enjoyable, insightful understanding of what's about to happen, go to the first, go to my YouTube page. Jesse will probably have his YouTube page fired up, but like subscribe, hit the notification button, folks. No joke.
No joke. Don't jump. All right.
Listen. All right. I'll see you, brother. But remember, subscribe, hit that notification button because you always want to be in the loop.
Subscribe to Sean's YouTube page. Subscribe to mine. I appreciate you.
Right. And then watch us either online or on the first. It's awesome. Because you know what? The one last thing I'll say, Jesse, is nowhere else. We're between me, you, Slater, Dana Lash, Bill O'Reilly. I'm like, it's truly the only conservative network.
There aren't very many of them out there, even the ones that pretend to be.
That's what I mean, though. We don't pretend. We're proud. Everyone else tiptoes around it. Let's have Joe Biden come on and pretend that. Like, we are proud conservatives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes the first difference. So I'm proud to be on there. I look forward to seeing you on election night before that. I hope you get all of the wellness treatments that you're signed up for before then.
I got to go get my facial. See you, Sean.
All right. See you, brother.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.